Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Sit down, relax, put your feet up. Welcome to another episode of the Ringside Rundown Podcast brought to you by TWM.news. My name is Eric Vasquez. Joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. Yes, that rhymes. She is Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on, my friend?
What is up? I survived Toyhio. My bank account pretty much survived Toyhio. I'm here. Believe it or not, I only bought two things out of 30,000 square feet of toys. I bought two things.
Wow. You really showed some reserve there.
I mean, if you don't count the like autographs and with like the wrestlers and stuff, because I ended up getting Ethan Page's autograph, the Bunny's autograph, Dan Housen and his wife Lulu. I got their autographs too. They were super cool. Everyone was super cool. It was so worth driving up for. But the two things I bought, and they're very specific. One is, I know you won't get it because it's Star Wars, but our fellow Star Wars fans listening, I got a Rise of Skywalker, like Dark Side Rey Black Series action figure. So it's like from like the vision of one certain scene in the movie. The Star Wars fans will get what I'm talking about. And then, this is going to sound so ridiculous, but it is a 31-inch Christian Bale Batman Dark Knight Rises like action figure.
Wow. Well, 31?
31 inches, yeah. He's a... I have him right next to my like TV stand, so it's like for scale. Jesus. But my thing is that was like my mission going into this, is that fun fact for the listeners at home, my favorite movie of all time is The Dark Knight Rises. Not a Star Wars movie, it's The Dark Knight Rises. I've loved that movie. I've seen it too many times to count. So now that I actually have my own apartment and I want to start collecting things, I'm like, I need to get like Dark Knight stuff because I don't have any. And who would have thought, it is impossible to find anything. And I wish that was an exaggeration. It is like impossible to find stuff. And lo and behold, there it was, just sitting up on the top shelf of one of the Fender shelves. And I'm like, yeah, I need to buy this. So, so I did, and I carried it around most of the day. Dan Housen and Lulu thought it was awesome. Ethan Page thought it was awesome. So you know what? I got the stamp of approval from them. So that was great.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And then lo and behold, apparently one of the toy brands are making new Dark Knight action figures and the pre-sale starts Thursday. So I talked it into existence. So you know what? It's been a pretty good week for me so far. Not going to lie.
You're doing well.
I'm living. My bank account won't be, but you know what? We'll deal with it.
Yeah. You know what? Like the kids say, YOLO. You only live once. You gotta live it up. So
and don't, I get paid don't. Friday. It's
there.
Fine.
You go. There you go. You get paid Friday. Nice way to spend your hard on money. You're the one that earned it. Nobody else.
Exactly. So if I want to spend it on action figures, then God damn it, I'm going to.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm an definitely. Adult.
We are adults. We know how to manage our money.
Exactly. It's action figures and tattoos. That's pretty much it.
Yes, definitely. Me, thanks to you, I'm adding more to my wrestling t-shirt collection. Yeah. Thanks to your wonderful birthday present. I appreciate it so much.
Of course.
That's my thing now. I think between collecting wrestling Funko Pops and wrestling t-shirts, yeah. I think that's my collecting deal right there. And you added more to it, so thank you again.
Of course. And I love how literally the House of Black shirt you picked was like my favorite design of theirs, and I have it because as soon as you pulled up the screenshot, I'm like, yeah, that's the one. That's my favorite design of theirs. So
I'm telling you, we're on the same wavelength.
Even off the air, we still have the wavelength still there.
Couldn't pick a more perfect partner for this.
Exactly. We just worked out well together. What can we say?
Yeah, definitely. Well, for the new listeners out there, this is a pro wrestling podcast where Shay and I answer questions sent in on social media, from our various loyal listeners who have questions and want to get our opinions on everything that is happening in wrestling. And today is no different. We have a lot of questions to go through. A lot. And we're going to get through all of them, even if they're repeats. We're going to get through them. We're going to talk about them, and you can get the gist of the show, and hopefully you come back for more.
Yeah, I was looking through, and our listeners were popping off this week, because we got at least 20, maybe a little more, but we got a lot this week, which is, you know what, it's good. It gives us something to do.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to get through all of them. And so sit back, relax, pop in those headphones, get yourself a snack. We're going to talk about some wrestling. So why don't we kick it off? What is the first question on the docket?
All right. So we're going to start with Jeff because he asked a bunch of questions. So Jeff, thank you as always. We finally actually have an answer to a question. He tried the Mountain Dew Pitch Black for us, as he promised. We have a report. We have an answer. It apparently tastes like Mountain Dew grape or Mountain Dew grape Gatorade and some weird citrus mix.
Really? Interesting.
Which I don't know how I feel about that, because as a former athlete, I did dabble in Gatorade, obviously, but it was never grape. It was always like the dark blue or the fruit punch.
Right.
Or the lime, because I was just weird, I guess. But grape and Mountain Dew and citrus. I don't know about that one. He said he personally wouldn't recommend it, but to each their own. I'm sure someone likes it. But
you know it's funny? I'm drinking grape Gatorade right now.
Oh my god.
And it's just so weird. Stop doing that.
Why do we keep doing? Why is it? I don't know what's up with us.
But speaking of the pitch black, apparently I read, I don't know if this is true because I read it on the internet just like everybody else can, but yeah. Apparently they said Mountain Dew paid $1 million to get that sponsorship for that match.
I did hear that too. And you know, that's not surprising. And again, we kind of talked about it before when we did the Royal Rumble recap. I liked it. I thought it was something unique. So
yeah, I didn't mind it. You know, it was interesting. It wasn't really offensive or anything like that. It was definitely better than most Bray Wyatt mood light matches. You know, I thought, you know, it was interesting, you know, and the whole ending with Uncle Howdy jumping off the thing in the fire. I thought, you know, it's like, it's a little supernatural, but we need a little bit of different. It can't just be all, you know, great wrestling storylines. We need a little hokiness in there.
And you need to suspend your disbelief at some point.
Exactly. This is a soap opera. This is not real. This is just an athletic soap opera, and that's just one creepy way to present it.
Honestly, I think the only thing I would have liked is if they didn't constantly say it was the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. It could have just said Pitch Black, but I guess that's what the $1 million was for. So,
yeah, they're going to get their money's worth.
They get paid $1 million every time they say Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. But but no, I thought it was definitely unique, but I know some people didn't like it. And you know what? To each their own. That's why we like things. It's fine.
It's fine.
All right. So now we'll get into the actual questions now that we've finally settled the Pitch Black Mountain Dew debate. All right, Jeff's first question is, how awesome was it that WWE finally dropped the dumbass Dewdrop name, and Piper Niven deserves so much better than that BS? I agree.
Yes, I agree. I think sometimes you just have to go with what's presented to you rather than trying to make your own deal. And Dewdrop didn't make any sense, but Piper Niven sounds like a wrestling name.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like a wrestling name. So, I'm definitely, I still don't know what a Dewdrop is.
I don't think we're ever going to know, to be honest.
Are we ever gonna know what a Dewdrop is?
At this rate, I don't want to, because we get Piper Niven back. As soon as I saw that graphic at the Rumble, I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm like, thank God it's finally over, because, yeah. And like Jeff said, it should have never happened in the first place, but you know, it was Eva or Marie. We know how all that goes, whatever. But yeah, I'm definitely glad.
Yeah, we're going to blame Eva Marie on this one.
Yeah. We kind of can, but either way, I'm glad it's back to Piper Niven, because that's what it should have been all along, because she deserved way better than that.
Yep, I agree.
All right, I knew as soon as this happened at the Rumble, I knew Jeff was going to ask a question about it. So he would like to know that since Kana is officially unleashed again, how screwed is the women's locker room, and how did we like her performance in the Rumble? First off, it's a 2-part question.
She really showed me something different. Yeah. It didn't seem like the usual Asuka, you know, which is obviously the point. You want to have a different presentation when you're doing this sort of deal. But that's the one thing. It didn't look like regular Asuka to me. It looked like she was like on some Super Saiyan stuff. Like
she was sadistic.
Yeah, she was going in there. Her strikes were fluid. And even on Raw last night, I noted the same thing. Her strikes are more fluid. She's more it's more like a, it's like a frenetic pace, but she can control it, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. It's different, but it's still Asuka, which is cool, you know? And that's what, you know, it wasn't, it isn't too much. It isn't like an overdone thing, like a Bray Wyatt sort of situation where everything relies on the gimmick itself. No, it's still Asuka, but she's just more frenetic. She's more controlled, and she's more, she's just evil. She's just evil. And it's pretty cool. I like it. I dig it.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. Like you said, it's believable because it's pretty much just Asuka as she is times just turned up a couple notches.
Right.
It's just sadistic, which is what clearly Kana represents. It's just pure and utter destruction. So how screwed is the locker room? I'd say they're pretty screwed. I think they're going to have their hands full with... I don't think they really called her Kana. I think it's just like... I think it just still called her Asuka, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, still calling her Asuka at this point. They haven't changed the name or anything like that. As far as the rest of the locker room goes, it's so... This situation with Rhea Ripley choosing Charlotte Flair and the Elimination Chamber deciding who's going to challenge Bianca Belair, it's got everything sort of in a chaos. I mean, it's a good chaos. It's probably a good problem to have because I've always said, what's the one thing I've always said about the women's division? It's lacking depth.
It needs bodies.
It needs bodies. So they're probably in a good situation to have. It's just... I think the whole situation with Rhea choosing Charlotte Flair, I think threw everybody for a loop.
Yeah, it sure threw me for a loop because I thought we were definitely getting Bianca and Rhea finally, but no, that's not how that works. I know since Asuka is in the chamber, this is gonna hurt to say. I would not be surprised, and I also wouldn't be mad if they kind of gave her, like, a Shayna Baszler-like performance in the chamber where she just runs over everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly we're not getting Shayna in the chamber, because that... We'll talk about that later. I think we have a question regarding that. But, I mean, how could you not? Because, kind of on the second part of Jeff's question is, should she be a dominant force in WWE once again? I feel like they don't have a choice.
Yeah, they need a dominant force. I mean, Bianca Belair is a pretty dominant force in her own right, but they need...
Carnage.
Yeah. They need that frenetic pace of what Asuka brings to the table. They need a little bit of chaos sprinkled in there. I would love to see Asuka in this incarnation versus Bianca Belair. That'd be great stuff. So, you know, I'm rooting for Asuka to win this chamber match. I think she's my choice to win it. It should be a very strong chamber match when you have like Nikki Cross in there, Carmella's back, you know, again, bodies. Bodies are important in this situation just to add a little bit of depth, add a couple pathways you can go in terms of booking and storyline situations. But I'm rooting for Asuka to win the chamber match for sure.
I would agree because, yeah, I would love to see her and Bianca. I'd love to see her and Rhea. If they get Shayna back to what she was in NXT, which was, you know, still crossing her fingers, I'd love to see those two go at it. That would be fun.
I think it could happen. Because I think what they're doing is they're kind of hitting the reset button on Nikki Cross. And that's something that they can definitely do with Shayna Baszler. Although I'm definitely interested in seeing what her and Ronda Rousey can do in the tag division. And I think we have a couple questions about that. So I'll wait on my thoughts for that.
Me too. I have some things to say, but yeah, when you just get down to it, Asuka, if I was another woman in that locker room, I would be terrified to say the least.
Yeah, she's definitely terrifying.
I mean, just think poor Carmella, like she just looked at her and oozed purple. No, it was blue mist. Yeah. So it's like, could you just imagine seeing that?
And it's cool, like another notch in like making her different from what she was. Instead of greenness, it's blueness.
Is it like extra poisonous now that it's blue? Who knows? That's the question we need to ask. It's just cool. And like that face paint, dude, is just, it's just terrifying in like the best way possible.
For sure.
It's just too good. All right. Well, we could go on and on about Kana, but who do we think deserve better showings in the Rumble? Personally, for Jeff, he would say Roxanne Perez and Zelina Vega for the women, and the Street Profits and Karrion Kross for the men. Yeah, I can't really argue with those four. Those were some surprising picks, but I guess Roxanne Perez didn't really surprise me because she had to defend the title a few days later, so it makes sense that she didn't really do a whole lot. Zelina, yeah, I wish Zelina would have had a little more time. I thought she deserved some more time. Karrion, absolutely. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing with him?
It's ever since we started talking about Karrion Kross and his current situation, I watch him and I'm just like, where did it all go wrong? And honestly, it like that Adam Cole promo from a couple years ago that really exposed a lot of things that maybe it shouldn't have had exposed.
Yeah, it got a little too real.
It got a little too real, exposed him. And then it's like he's never been able to recover from it.
Yeah, he couldn't really prove him wrong.
Yeah, he didn't. Because it's like you said, you got the cool entrance, you got the cool girl, you got the cool look, but that's basically where it ends.
Yeah, I feel I don't really know, because I feel like it's just for some reason the fans aren't responding, because it's not like he's just this non-brutal guy that just has a cool entrance. He is brutal in the ring, so it's like, I don't know what the disconnect is. It's a shame.
He wrestles a very different style. Everything is very calculated and very slow paced, which can kind of be a detriment depending on who you're taking on in the ring. So I think he needs a good storyline with someone where he can develop some chemistry and kind of show off more than his talking ability. Yeah. I think we need to see more of his emotion, everything besides his talking, because his talking is fine. He can cut a pretty good promo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he can cut a pretty good promo, but we need more than just a promo. Mm-hmm. You know, we need some believability. You know, and it's kind of hard to see the believability. I remember years ago when Karrion Kross first broke onto the scene in the independents, I was like, yo, this guy's legit, because he was just scary. And the way, like, I remember somebody tried to interview him, and they interviewed him and asked him, it was a really weird question, and he didn't like it, and he grabbed the interviewer by the throat and pushed him up against the wall. And I said, if that was me, I would have voided my bowels.
Yeah, right. I would have died.
Yeah, because that's how believable Karrion Kross at that stage of his career was, and we need to bring that back. We need to bring that fear back.
We need to bring the fear back for Karrion. We need to bring the fear back for Shayna. We need to bring the craziness back for Nikki. We need to do a lot of things. There's a lot of work that needs done.
Definitely, I agree.
It's a shame. Do we think WWE sees Santos Escobar as their next Lucha megastar? The backstage thing with Rey seems to hint at a massive push for him, in Jeff's opinion.
Yeah, that was really cool. I don't know if you got to see that. Yeah, that was really cool. It doesn't do anything negative to Santos. I think it was just a real moment. And I think that's what people like to see, like just genuine, real moments. And it wasn't anything like, you know, it wasn't anything that says that Santos Escobar is going to be a face or anything like that. It was just a moment of real respect and showcasing that there's different sides to this wrestling thing. It's not all one dimensional. There's Lucha, there's Japanese, there's women's wrestling. You know, there's all different facets of this, and it's cool that they're embracing all of it.
Exactly. And like you said, sometimes you just need that little touch of reality to bring everything together. And I think that segment really did something, because it's like, it's a big deal. The masks are, as you know, in Lucha Libre, a massive deal.
Yeah.
So and for it, them it may... to do that, that's like, I think, Ray's like stamp of approval almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to see it. It made me want to see more Santos. You know me, I'm a massive Santos Escobar fan. Nice. Ever since, like, you know, his work in Lucha Underground and stuff like that. When I first saw him, I was like, this guy's really, really good. And I think we've just seen like just the surface of how good he is. if they give him something good on the main roster, he could really show off some skill.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like his stuff in NXT, really good too. Like him and Legado del Fantasma and Hit Row, that was some really good stuff back then. So yeah, we need to see more of him. And I feel like that segment might do the job, because then everybody who's like a big fan of Ray would be like, oh wow, if he thinks he's a big deal, then maybe I should think he's a big deal, and I'd tune in to see. So
yeah, that Mysterio rub.
Oh yes. Yes, and he definitely has one for sure.
I agree.
I knew we were going to have to talk about this at some point. Have we seen anybody go through as many character changes as Lacey Evans in recent years? And do we think they finally found the one to fit her? Or do you think this one's going to fail as well? I'll just be completely honest in my opinion, I don't care. I really don't care. I don't. Like, she has meant nothing to me as a fan for a very long time.
Yeah, she's just kind of there.
And that kind of, and I mean, to be fair too, the stupid stuff she was liking on Instagram and stuff definitely didn't help either. It kind of just proved the point of why I didn't really like her in the first place. But
what was she doing on Instagram?
Oh, without opening a can of worms, is it supposedly like anti-vax stuff?
Oh.
Which kind of makes sense, honestly. Ugh. It kind of, I'm just like, you know what, that fits. But it
gave me the ick.
Yeah, even before that though, I'm just like, I don't really sympathize or relate to the over-the-top patriotic kind of person, so I'm like, right, this is whatever, I guess. And it's just like, and I mean, there's no like, yeah, no, that's shade to her wrestling in the ring.
That's wrestling, though. Like you don't identify. You can't find any identifiable qualities in her within yourself. You know, yeah, that's why there's that disconnect. There's definitely nothing wrong with that. She just doesn't. She's just there. She's just there. You know. I mean, I personally enjoyed the sassy Southern Belle gimmick. I thought that was a good heel gimmick. That'll definitely get her. That would have definitely got her over. And then she got pregnant by Ric Flair, supposedly. So like,
yeah,
so,
and then that went downhill rather quickly. It was just
right.
You know? It's a shame because she's not bad in the ring. She's really not. But
she could put it together. She could put it together. She just, her personality is just not.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. You know, somebody just doesn't have the personality you click with.
Yeah. So I guess, at least for me, to answer Jeff's question, if it fails, great. If it succeeds, great. I really don't care either way. I have not cared about Lacey Evans for some time, so it's just kind of like, she's on the TV, and I'm like, oh, it's her, I guess. It's just apathy, I guess, is the word of the day.
Sorry, Lacey.
yeah, oops, and sorry, but not really. Let's see. Do we think the feud between LA Knight and Bray Wyatt is officially done? And if so, where do both of them go from here?
I think it's. I feel like if I say it's done, they're gonna carry it on.
we're gonna reverse talk it into existence.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what's gonna happen.
Stop.
The match was serviceable. It didn't do anything for me in terms of, wow, do I want to see more of this or do I want to see less of this? It just kind of happened for me. Yeah. It was just there that happened. So I kind of want them to move on. I need Bray Wyatt to sink into something very serious. As you can tell, since the Bloodline situation is happening, all of my attention goes to the stories.
Yep.
I like the stories. You know, you can tell that I'm very story driven. So I feel like Bray Wyatt needs a story to sink into. Not on the level of like what the Bloodline's doing, but at least a good story to explain the supernatural stuff. Have a person to be his anti sort of thing. You know, I just think that is necessary at this point. So I mean, LA Knight is good at what he does, and he could tell a great story. I just didn't see much of the chemistry there.
No, I didn't either. It was kind of, it kind of started going one-sided after a while, where it was like, fully Bray Wyatt, but then people started realizing, oh wow, LA Knight can actually hold his own on this. And so more people were talking about, okay, when are we just gonna get into the ring? This is getting kind of old. And then yeah, everyone was 50-50 on the match itself. But yeah, it's like you said, you almost don't want to say it, because if we say one way, it might happen the complete opposite way. So yikes. Yeah, I kind of just want them to go their separate ways, because like you said, Wyatt needs to do something a little more serious than a Mountain Dew pitch black match.
Yeah, he's a story wrestler. Mm-hmm. He has a story to him that could either captivate people or could push people away. So yeah. I think he needs a story that he can captivate the people with his words and, you know, the way he usually does it, because he's very good at what he does. So you can't just throw him into any little thing and, oh, expect magic to happen. No, you need to really work with him and work with his creativity.
Yeah. You need to also to find like the right person at the right time. It's kind of about timing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have anybody that can hang with him, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of want to see what else both of them can do, because I feel like LA Knight proved that he can hold his own in a feud. So I think he'll do well. Definitely. But yeah, Wyatt needs to do something else, just for the sake of it, just so we can take this a step up to something of more importance.
For sure.
All right. So I knew after I saw this on Dynamite, we were going to have to talk about this. And why would AEW put the tag titles on the Ass Boys?
Oh, yeah.
It made no sense at all. And is it just him, or does their tag division need a serious shot in the arm? Yeah. It's kind of hard to argue with them.
Yeah, that's because they're like I say with the women's division, how they need bodies. There's so many tag teams in AEW. They need less bodies.
Yeah.
They need to flush it out.
Well, and I feel like they kind of do that thing too, where they only focus on, I feel like they kind of do this as a whole. They focus on like one or two teams, and that's literally it. They kind of forget everybody else exists, because obviously for the trios division, it's the Elite. But then for like, I feel like they kind of like rode the momentum that the Acclaimed had for a while, just based on the fact that they were popular.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I kind of saw it. And again, the first thing I heard when the bell rang, I'm like, why? Like, it didn't make sense. Because I feel like now you're just going to have to break up the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, because they could easily say, well, if you wouldn't have fell for their trick, we might not have lost the titles, because we wouldn't have had the match. Because it is pretty much Billy's fault.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say if their popularity was dwindling. I don't think it really was.
I don't think it was. I think they were still capturing the popularity that got them the tag titles in the first place.
Yeah, so I feel like when you had it on paper, you could have just went, yeah, of course the Acclaim's gonna win that. So I don't know if it was just for the shock factor, if they just felt like they needed to change it, which I don't know why they would have. Yeah, that one's a little puzzling to me, and I'm still wondering about it even a week later.
Yeah, I scratched my head for sure. I definitely scratched my head when that bell rang after the three count. And I was like, I don't think that's what the people wanted.
That crowd was silent.
Yeah. Nothing against the Guns. I just, like I said, I said it last week. I said they haven't really done anything to wow me and say, yeah, they belong in this situation.
I think we kind of did the thing, because I specifically remember us saying, yeah, just I don't think they're going to win it. It's not their time yet. And then, yeah, Tony heard that and went, well, you two are in for a surprise.
Sorry.
So, thanks, Tony. Really, really appreciate it. Whatever. Yeah, it's just that tag division is going to be a bit of a mess, I think, for a while. But
there's so much.
Yeah. Ugh. Before we have to go on about it, let's just move on. this one. I liked how Jeff ordered this one. Uncle Howdy pulled his best Darby Allin impersonation at the Rumble. do either one of us have any educated guesses as to who is under the mask? I still think it's Bo Dallas.
Yeah, I think it's Bo Dallas.
I don't know who else it could be, honestly.
Like, I don't know, but I think it's Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
Those pictures were pretty incriminating.
Yeah, it was a little too on the nose there. Yeah, it has to be. It just has to be.
I think so.
I think so as well. Did we see the videos of Jericho and Danhausen as a team on the Jericho Cruise? I think that was the most entertaining Jericho's been in years. Well, when you're with Danhausen, you kind of have to be.
Danhausen. I know we're going to talk about Danhausen later because I saw.
Oh, yes.
I saw your mom has a comment about Danhausen.
Oh, yes.
But it's just, I'm confused. Why don't we see more Danhausen?
I have the same question, and so did mom. So I will save my ranting for that later. But
did your mom get to meet Danhausen?
Oh yeah, we both did.
Oh yeah, how was that? Because I know your mom loves her some Danhausen.
Oh yes, it was a great time. He was super cool. He wasn't like his like on. He was Danhausen, but he wasn't like on TV Danhausen. He was like, he saw the voice, but he was talking like a normal person. He wasn't being like overly obnoxious about anything. He was super cool. We thought he was hilarious.
That's great.
We're probably going to see him again at Steel City Con. He's going to be there end of March going into April. So we're going to go see him. I feel like the only other wrestler at that show is like MJF. And we're like, no thanks.
You feel like getting cursed out in line while you're waiting to get an autograph?
I'd rather not. But speaking of, I don't think we have a question about this, but I still wanted to talk about this because this is the one thing that's stuck in my head since Dynamite. That that backstage promo he had.
Oh
wow.
My god.
Number one, I felt like I needed to take a shower afterwards. Two,
it was very scumbaggery.
I felt super uncomfortable, which clearly he did his job because it's just like, oh, this is hard to listen to. But two, and the biggest question I had, I don't know if you had the same one. It's like, if that's as low as he's going, how much further can you go? Like you literally talked about swishing your lifeless friend's body to not get in trouble. So it's like, I don't know how much lower you can go than that.
I mean, if there's any lower, I think he'll stoop to that level.
I mean, clearly.
But like you said, because I kind of felt uncomfortable too listening to that promo. I was just like, ugh, this guy's a scumbag, you know? And it's just like, the thing about MJF that I always think about is he really like, this is how good he is. Is he really like this?
Yeah. Like,
Where's the line? Where's the line between performer and person?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so
I would think that would have to be exhausting.
It has to be to constantly be on, you know. You don't have a chance to just breathe and have a normal conversation. You always have to be sort of like the asshole. You know?
Literally.
It must be exhausting to constantly be an asshole. Like you have to go out of your way to be an asshole.
Yeah. Some people don't even need to try. They just do it. But
right. But he, like,
I don't know how.
He takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. It's just like, again, once you think he can't go any lower, that promo just prove that he can. And I'm like,
yeah, that
Jesus
promo was skeezy.
Christ. Yeah. Also, I thought it was funny that he said live. I'm like, I think I know who he was alluding to. I'm like, that was mean, but whatever. Yeah, it was just scummy. It was just very scummy. Like, I still feel like I need to take a shower after listening to that. But, well, on a lighter note, Jeff's next question. Have either of us heard or seen Jada Stone? He got to see her at DPW in Concord, and she's an amazing talent destined for great things. I have not heard of Jada.
No, I haven't either, but I'm going to take your recommendation. I'll look her up. I'm sure there's clips on Twitter and stuff like that.
And YouTube, hopefully.
I can't wait to like, I want to sink my teeth back into indie wrestling.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's back on the rise again. I'm getting a lot more deeper into wrestling Twitter. So I'm seeing things that are kind of opening my eyes. And it's like, I got to get out there. I got to experience different wrestling. And I got to experience it live.
Yeah, you know. I do too. It's been a very long time since I've been to an indie show, because the last few shows I've been to were WWE and AEW. So, which, speaking of, AEW is finally coming back to Pittsburgh in April. Finally complained about it enough for it to show up again. But yeah, I want to go back to indie shows. I know there's like a promotion is called Evolve in Pittsburgh. They do a lot of shows, so I have to, because I think like Lee Moriarty and all of them are usually there. I think, if I saw correctly on Twitter, like Maxine Paler is going to be there and Heidi Howitzer is going to be there too. So I'm like,
nice.
I might have to actually make that. And Trisha Dora too. So I'm like, all right, I think I might need to go see this for myself. So, yeah, but yeah, I definitely would not mind, looking some stuff up. I think, if I saw correctly, Maki Ito won a, I think it was a tournament or something most recently. I know Jeff will probably let me know, but it seemed like it was a pretty big deal that she won it. So,
She's coming back to the States for GCW. She's been like a huge mainstay for GCW here in the States. Yeah, like she's definitely making a name for herself here in the States, just being herself, which is really cool. Yeah,
just being the cutest in the world. Maki Ito. We love Maki Ito. I want to see her back in AEW again. That was fun. That was a fun time.
For sure.
Someday. Jeff would never thought he would say this, but we need a Gunther versus Lesnar match as soon as possible. Do we agree or disagree?
I agree
just for the sake of, I would love to see Gunther cave Lesnar's chest in.
I don't know, man. He tried to do that at the Rumble and Lesnar just kind of shook it off.
I want to see it though. I just want to see him actually do it if he can do it. That's the thing. So
I think it can happen at Mania, and I think they can again wrap a story around it. Lesnar's never been the Intercontinental Champion before.
Oh, please don't. Please don't. Don't do it.
Could you imagine if Gunther pulls out a win against Lesnar? That'll put him in the stratosphere. He's already on the up and up, you know, being that he's the longest tenured Intercontinental Champion in history so far. You know, so he's already on the up and up and has that accolade to his name. And he's really brought prestige back to the Intercontinental Championship. But Lesnar's just doing Lesnar things now. He's having his little squabble with Bobby Lashley. But I'd love to see Lesnar and Gunther at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it would be painful to watch in a good way, because those two would just beat the ever-living shit out of each other. So
that's what we need. We need that.
We need chaos.
I'm down with that.
Oh, me too. 100%. But speaking of Gunther, Jeff would like to know, does Sheamus end Gunther's reign at WrestleMania, or will it be another performer who dethrones the current champion? So, will Sheamus do it? And if not, who? I would think it would have to be Sheamus, because I think a lot of people expect him to do it at Clash at the Castle.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it if it was Sheamus. I think I would be mad at it if it was Lesnar to take the belt off of Gunther, but yes. I think Sheamus definitely deserves the accolade, and they would just have a banger match. No pun intended. It would just be a phenomenal match. I mean, we saw what happened at Clash at the Castle. Mm-hmm. I don't think the funny thing is, I think serious wrestling fans knew it was going to be good, because I always said Sheamus versus like Foreigner. Like if you put him in New Japan, he would kill it in New Japan.
Oh, absolutely.
You know. Yeah.
100%.
So when you brought in Gunther, it was just like, it was perfect, because he likes getting the shit kicked out of him and he likes dishing it back. So it was like a perfect recipe. And so serious wrestling fans knew it was going to be good. I don't think they knew it was going to be that good.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
They let it rest too. They're not going back to it. If they go back to it at Mania, that'd be great. You know, because he gave it a little bit of rest. But go ahead.
No, I completely agree. They could have easily just been like, no, we'll just keep riding it till the wheels fall off. It's no, give it a little chance to breathe. And then when the time is right, kind of like WrestleMania, everyone will be like, oh, thank God. I was hoping they would come back to this. It's like, we need this again. And you know what? I think it'll be Sheamus. I think it'll be his time, hopefully.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool on a stage like WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean,
that'd be something.
You can't do it at Clash of the Castle. Do it at WrestleMania. Next best thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to let you answer this one, because I know you're always itching to talk about the bloodline. Are we actually seeing the beginning of the end of the bloodline, or is this going to be a bait and switch by WWE?
I don't know, man. If that's the crazy thing about this story, is just that like it can go in so many different directions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to see the end of the bloodline. Ooh.
Now you're thinking.
I'm thinking of how it can happen. And Reigns has to lose, and the Usos have to lose.
Yeah.
Because without the belts, what's the point? You know?
Exactly.
I just love the Bloodline so much that I don't want it to end.
Like, you want it forever and ever.
Forever and ever. But, like, it's just because it works so well. I mean, when Eric Bischoff says that the Bloodline storyline is a better storyline than the NWO storyline because it has structure. Uh-huh. It has discipline. When he says that it's better than the NWO storyline, that says something.
Yeah, that's a big stamp of approval.
Yeah. So it's just like the cracks are beginning to be there. Mm-hmm. I think a big gamble would be Roman Reigns winning at WrestleMania and keeping the title. Ew. Not that I would be mad, but it would be a gamble. Because then it's like, where do you go from here?
Yeah, because you have nobody after that.
Yeah, he's literally ran through every single person you can think of, you know? So where do you go from here? Mm-hmm. That's the gamble that you take. And it's amazing to me that wrestling fans are so engaged with this storyline, being that the storyline has been going on for 9 months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And we as wrestling fans usually have the attention span of an ant.
yeah.
You know? So it's like this is crazy that it's been going so long. So can you keep our attention a little bit longer after Mania? I don't know. I won't be mad if Cody wins because I think it's a great story. I definitely won't be mad if Sami Zayn figures out a way to win these titles. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but if Sami Zayn wins and we get that triumphant babyface storyline ending to everything, I'm all for it.
You want another Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 moment?
I think this is surpassing it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I think this is, if I was to rate my favorite storylines of the past 15 years, it would be Kofi Mania at number three.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania at number two, and this story with the Bloodline.
Damn. Yeah, those are three good ones.
Yeah, because it was just, it was the pieces leading up to everything. A perfect example of why Kofi Mania was so great to me was when the Usos decided to forfeit that beatdown of Kofi Kingston when they wanted to eliminate Kofi out of the Gauntlet match. And the Usos were like, we're not going to do that to you guys. We forfeit our match. Solidifying that he was going to get his match at WrestleMania. That's just storyline 101, man. That's great. Storytelling in wrestling is something else.
It really is, if done correctly. That's the big caveat. If done correctly. But it is right now. It's hard to argue that it isn't.
Yeah.
All right, so I feel like we kind of answered this one already. Who wins the chamber match and challenges Bianca? He thinks Asuka. We agree.
Yeah, I think Asuka's going to win this one.
Wait, I mean, who the hell else could it be? Like
Carmella!
Oh, God. Okay. We're not going to go on that. We're not going to open that can of worms.
I didn't expect her to win the match to get into the chamber.
I kind of had a feeling she would.
You did? You thought so?
Yeah, you bring her back. You bring all the pomp and circumstance back. It would have been stupid to have her not win. So, whatever. It's fine, I guess.
She's fine, I guess.
And Jeff's final question is, if all of the current champions make it to WrestleMania and have to defend on one of the nights, which of them lose their belts and who retains? Oh, this is a tough one. So I feel like the Usos would have to drop at least one of the titles, you would think. If not both.
I think both. You gotta go with both.
Yeah, that would suck.
I mean, I'm all about unifying these titles.
Yeah.
I know some people are like, oh no, don't do that, but I'm all about unifying these titles and having one solidified champion, even if it's two brands. So for things like the tag team championships, I want there to be one, as there is right now, there is only one tag team championship because the Usos have it. Same thing with Roman. And then you have the other titles that are fine, like Gunther with the IC title, Austin Theory with the United States title is one thing. I don't think he's going to lose his title at Mania. No. Gunther's a possibility.
Yeah, I think Sheamus might do it.
Yeah, Sheamus might do it. Now, are Io Sky and Dakota Kai, I know, is she injured?
Yes, I believe Dakota is.
Injured in what way?
Has to be something lower body because she's been using those crutches a lot. Crutches, so it might be ankle. So it's like, I'm slowly dying, but we have a, I think we have a question about that. So I feel like the women's tag titles will put on hold because we don't know what's going to happen. As far as the women's like main titles, I'm just going to say it right now because I just want it to happen. Because if I can get Statlander to win the TBS title, I can get this to happen. I want Rhea Ripley to beat Charlotte, and she's going to do it. Damn it.
I think she's going to beat her. I think she's going to get that win back.
You can't have all of this hoopla and have her lose.
Yeah, I think she's going to get that win back from the last time that they squabbled at WrestleMania.
God, I hope. And then, if in our scenario it's Asuka and Bianca, who? Oh, that's a tough one. Because the problem Bianca's is you don't
want running with the belt.
Yeah, that's a problem. You don't want to run the risk of kind of being like, okay, now who can she be? Because she's run through everyone.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something if Rhea wins and Asuka wins and it's Survivor Series, if it makes it that far, those two against each other? Good God.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Oh, that would be a fun match. Will it happen? Who knows? We're only in February. That's November, but I would like to see it.
For sure.
All right, so I think we got through all of Jeff's questions. So, Jeff, thank you for all of your questions. Thank you for trying Mountain Dew Pitch Black for us and reporting.
Thanks,
we appreciate
buddy.
It. All right, so now we're going to go to Mom's questions just so I don't forget them, because I think she put them on your tweet. So, Mom, thank you for your questions. She asked me about this afternoon when I got home from work. She said, wouldn't it be the ultimate swerve if Kevin Owens costed Sammy the match and joined the Bloodline instead?
That, you want to talk about adding another layer to the story?
I think you would have an aneurysm if that would happen.
I can't take it. I can't take this anymore. So don't do that to me.
Oh, that would be too much.
Don't do that to me, please.
The worst part is that you could easily justify it with Kevin being like, well, you did it to me, so why can't I do it to you?
Yeah. And he doesn't even have to join the Bloodline. He could just cost Sammy the match.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't want to. It's almost like I don't want to keep talking about it because I don't want it to be a thing. I don't want it to be a thing.
Oh, no, I don't. I can't. I can't handle that. Can't I don't do know it. Why you would put that sort of evil in the universe.
We're not going to pull a Danhausen curse and curse this thing. We're gonna move on because God only knows. This one was from a few weeks ago. Mom wanted to talk about the Cody Rhodes and Paul Heyman promo, which got very personal very quickly.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, oof. For me, it makes me feel like Paul Heyman's the one steering the ship when it comes to all of this. You know, so that's a perfect person to have steer the ship for you. It was just everything that Cody has been doing since coming back to WWE has been a home run.
Yeah,
you know, in terms of his storytelling. And again, I keep saying this, WWE has a way to be like reeling it back if it gets too much. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think they're doing a good job keeping everything concise and to the point. The line where at the very end where Heyman was like, you were his favorite son, but he wished, you know, Roman Reigns is the son he wished he had or something like that.
Yeah.
That got me because I was falling for it. I was like, wow, Heyman's being really nice here.
Yeah. You know? And you're like, oh, you son of a bitch, you got me.
That son of a bitch got me again because he's always, Paul Heyman has a weird way of always getting me.
Yeah. And every time. He's the bane of your existence.
He really is, and he's just so good at it. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just...
It's impressive.
It is impressive. I mean, but again, this is that next level of the story. And then you get to what happened last night on Raw. Cool. Thankfully, we didn't record on Monday like we thought about.
Yeah.
And I switched it to today that we record because I would have kind of bummed out if we're recording and that promo is happening and I'm not watching it live.
Yeah, literally, because it was, my God, that was a hell of a promo with Sammy and Cody.
yeah, it was just, I don't know if we have any questions about it, so I don't want to jump the gun. If we, if not to overshadow the Cody and Paul Heyman promo, I just think this one was one that I didn't think we were ever going to expect to get. I didn't think there was going to be any commingling between the two people going up against Roman Reigns. But again, it's that old adage of the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
You know? So it feels like that's where they're going. But I really, I don't know if I'm just wanting to will this into existence, but I feel like there's a way you can do a triple threat and it works. It's just a matter of who eats the pin. How the match goes, you know, that's a big thing, because if Roman eats the pin, that's big.
Oh, yeah. You know,
first person to pin Roman Reigns in like 3 years.
Yeah, which that still is very hard to believe, but it's just crazy. It's insane. It's just the whole thing's insane, which is what we want, but also.
Yeah.
Ugh.
This is storytelling.
It is. It's a soap opera in its purest form, honestly.
Yeah, this is great stuff. Well overdue for WWE. Like I said, I don't know who's the one driving the ship behind the scenes creatively,
but whoever's
doing, they need a raise. They're doing such a great job, giving us a story in wrestling to really sink our teeth into.
I completely agree. It's just been easily the best thing in wrestling, best storyline in wrestling, bar none. All right, Mom's next comment is, Rhea looks unstoppable right now, and you know what? It's about damn time, because I got so worried when they kind of, like, had her lose to Charlotte, and I'm like, oh, God, here we go again, and then it's like you had her beat Asuka, so I'm like, okay, maybe we're finally getting somewhere, and then that kind of didn't really go anywhere, and it's like, you need to let her just unleash the beast, and they are right now, and it's like, thank God. Just thank God.
And she's even still doing the good stuff with Dominic.
Yeah.
There's another layer to that. That's like, she can still get down to that level and be entertaining in that sense, where it's kind of a joke. Because even someone on Twitter asked, I wonder if they're going to do something for Valentine's Day between Dominic and Rey Mysterio. And that's exactly what they did. Because I guessed it. I was just throwing out a guess. I was like, you know, Dom's going to interrupt a nice fancy dinner between Rey and his wife. And that's exactly what happened. But it was just those two, the one-liners they had back and forth. She can entertain you in that sense.
Yeah.
And then in the ring, she's an unstoppable force.
Yeah, she has a sense of humor, but can also knock your teeth in when it comes down to it. So, yeah, it's just, I can't rave enough about Rhea. I've loved Rhea for years, so I'm just hoping they can keep this up and not just stop her anymore, because she deserves way better than that.
Her transformation from like her first like Mae Young Classic, where she was like this blonde, bubbly eyed, you know, here to do a good job, to now just this unstoppable force, is just something to see.
It's incredible. It's awesome. It's just, I can't say enough. I can't say enough about Rhea. But for the sake of it not being a 3-hour show, I will continue. So Mom's last comment is something that we kind of talked about a little bit earlier. She, as I do too, want more Danhausen.
Yeah.
We need more Danhausen. It's like, I don't know why this is so difficult for them, but it's like, you literally have a gold mine on your hands. You have Pro Wrestling Tees, top merchandise seller of 2022. What are you doing? He makes you money.
You can put him in any situation. Yeah, you can put him in any situation, and I think he would excel. You know, if you put him, it doesn't have to be a main event situation, but imagine him having a feud with Ethan Page or something like that.
Or the fact that you could literally, it's not really a cop-out, but you have like an out there with very evil Danhausen. We saw it before, so it's like, you literally can do it. I don't know why they're doing it. It's making me mad. Just making me mad, because it's like, they can do so much more with him, and I don't know why they're not. It's just infuriating. Yeah. I feel like we talk about this every other month, because nothing changes.
It's just that when you get that situation where you're like, you don't have that much programming, because they don't really have a lot of programming, and then you have like 11 matches on Dark and Elevation each. It's like you're trying to squeeze so much into something that's happening that like some people get left by the wayside. But you gotta watch who you leave. You know, yeah. I don't think, like you said, he's the top merch seller for a reason.
And he literally was on Dark and Elevation last year. So what happened?
You know, those matches are like 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes long. So I don't think they do anybody any sort of service.
Not really, no.
But that's just me. And that's what happens when you have a bloated roster. Because you have a lot of people on there. A lot of people on there trying to fight for TV time that all have that ego that says, I deserve to be on TV, so why aren't you putting me on TV? It's a miracle we haven't heard any of that sort of stuff from Danhausen, who deserves to be on TV, but that's probably for another 3-hour podcast.
Yeah, I think we could ramble on about that too. There's a lot of things we could just ramble on about, to be honest, but so those are all of Mom's questions and comments, so thank you again as always.
Thanks, Mom.
All right, let's go to Jack. He asked a couple. So Jack's first question is, do we have Cody show up at the Elimination Chamber? That Montreal crowd might turn on him if Sammy loses. It's probably best just to stick with the Usos and Kevin Owens. Yeah, I feel like that crowd's just going to be so hot for Sammy that you don't want to do anything else.
Yeah, that crowd, again, it's going to remind me of when CM Punk took on John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011 in Chicago. Oh,
yeah, that crowd was insane.
That crowd was insane. Now, imagine if Sammy leaves with the belts.
God, they might burn that city down.
I mean, it can happen. I think so many people are dismissing Sammy out of this situation that it can happen.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, are they going to have it happen? I don't... That's the thing about the storyline, is you don't know what's going to happen next. You literally don't. Yeah. It's like you're on the edge of your seat waiting to see what's going to happen next. And I literally have no idea what's going to happen. There's so many things they could do.
And then the thing is, I was like, well, how can they make this happen? And then originally I had thought that because the Usos were having trouble getting into Canada because of past DUI arrest. But apparently they're good to go. Okay, so, good. Yeah, they're good to go. So that could add another wrinkle. I'm thinking... we talked about Kevin Owens possibly interfering in the match and possibly costing Sammy the match. What if Jay does it?
Oh my God. How many more wrinkles can we throw into this thing? There are so many wrinkles. This is the wrinkliest storyline.
We saw Jay backstage with Sammy and they seem to mend fences even after this whole situation. But I mean, they're not going to be on SmackDown on Friday. So that gives him another week to stew on it. And then you got to think about it. He's going up against his own brothers in Jimmy and Solo.
Yeah.
You know, his actual blood brothers.
Yeah.
You know? So. Oh,
this is insane.
Is blood thicker than Oos?
Yeah. That's the real question we need to be asking here. that remains to be seen. And again, you got to sit on the edge of your seat to see what happens, because that's just how good this is.
Yeah, they really did a great job of building up this main event for Elimination Chamber.
Oh, absolutely. And it's I'm glad that they didn't make it seem like, oh, it's just a throwaway for Cody and Roman at WrestleMania. It's like, no, you actually have no idea what the hell is going to happen at this point.
Yeah.
But I digress.
That's when wrestling is the best.
Exactly, when you are left guessing up until the very end.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I knew Jack was going to ask this because he loves Dakota as much as I do. What do we think is next for the women's tag belts? Hopefully King Kota heals up quick and they hopefully unify them with the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship soon.
But then NXT loses their women's tag team titles. Who are the that's right. They won it at Vengeance Day. Kiana James and Fallon Henley, they won the titles.
I'm glad you remembered their names because I didn't.
I'm starting to pay more attention to NXT than I have been in the past months. So that's probably why I could remember their names. But
that probably helps.
I don't know about unifying it because you don't want to take tag titles away from NXT.
Yeah.
I think they need to do more on the main roster side. instead of just having them be like placeholders for Io Sky and Dakota Kai. It's just a matter of how long Dakota Kai is going to be on the shelf. But I would love to see like Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler go after Dakota and Io for the titles. I think that would be sans Ronda Rousey. I think that would be a phenomenal match. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, they're kind of doing the thing where they're just kind of like placeholders right now. But again, it all depends on the injury to Dakota Kai and seeing how far that's going to take them back.
Yeah, and I don't know how long it's going to be because no one's really saying, which is, it's just making me sad. Hopefully it's just a minor injury, I hope, because you know how much I love King Kota and Jack, so I just want to see them succeed. That's all I want. I think it's kind of a shame because right now it just seems kind of, I feel like a lot of people are saying lackluster with Damage Control right now, which is kind of like there, and unfortunately I can't help but agree because it's almost just like they really don't have anything to do except just be Bailey's like sidekicks because they're not really putting a whole lot of focus in the tag division, which has kind of always been the bane of their existence anyway, so yeah, it just makes me sad, that's all. That's pretty much it. But
I'd give it time because I mean I felt like we were saying the same thing about Judgment Day, that they were kind of just there. And now they're kind of becoming a force that you see on TV, and they're becoming interesting. So I still say there's still time on the clock to get them to be a little bit more interesting, to figure out a way to make the story work together and make the titles more prominent.
Yeah. God, I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. It's just going to make, before it makes me even more depressed about it. We're going to go over to AEW, and Jack wants to know, do we think the Trios division has hurt the AEW tag division?
Well, when you have seven matches against the same opponents, that kind of didn't help for the attention span. But again, it's like I said earlier, there's so many tag teams in AEW that you kind of have to have a Trios title to just placate everybody else that's there in the division.
Yeah. Just give it to the House of Black. That's all we want.
I mean, I would love to see the Elite versus the House of Black. I mean, I'm kind of interested in what they're doing with Eddie Kingston and Ortiz right now.
Yeah.
I think it's good stuff. But again, yeah, that Trios Championship, I just think they need another feud for the Elite. Okay, they moved on from Death Triangle. It's time to see who else can step up and kind of get on the Elite's level, because that's probably the problem that they're having, is that they're not finding anyone on that level that like Death Triangle was that can hang with the Elite.
Yeah, and I feel like I would not want the House of Black to be the next ones, because I just can't see the Elite losing this quick. Mm-hmm. So if they were to come out, I would be like, no, go get in the backstage, go back, don't come back. Wait a couple months and then do it, because at that rate I feel like the House of Black is pretty much the obvious choice to have the Elite drop the titles to, because it's the House of Black. I mean, are we biased? Yeah, absolutely, but I think they deserve a run with some type of title, for fuck's sake. Like, we've been waiting long enough, but yeah, it's I don't know, and it's, Jack does have a point. It feels like just the tag team division as a whole has just been kind of funky lately. It used to be really good. We used to say it was probably one of the best parts of like AEW. Now it's just like, what the heck happened?
I don't know, man. Ever since that All Out brawl,
everything's just kinda gone weird.
Yeah, it just got real weird. Like, there's like a cloud that they can't just seem to escape.
And apparently they called it Brawl Out.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a new term for it apparently. So I mean, it makes sense.
There's that casted a really dark cloud over AEW that they can't seem to just find their footing and just have consistent programming. And you know, it's just like Tony Khan, he's always gonna say stuff, but it's just like, on the surface as a fan just watching, you're just kind of like, there's so much happening, there's no consistency.
It's one of those where it's like, there's so much happening and so little happening at the same time,
right? That's a good way to put it.
It's like there's so much white noise that you're like, okay, I guess I'm entertained. I don't know, but
yeah, you can't tell if you're entertained or not, because like not all of it is bad.
No, not all of it. Some of it's
not all of it.
Some of it's a little head scratching. I think if I glance correctly at one of Mike's questions, I think I have some questions about a certain storyline. I think you might know what I'm talking about, but we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, it just seems everything just seems weird right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, like you said, after Brawl Out, things just kind of went downhill quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. this one I thought was a very funny question because I didn't really think about it until Jack brought it up. He's like, remember when at Grand Slam when AEW refs were supposed to be or going to be better and the only person punished was Eddie? I want the wrestling refs to be a bit smarter, especially with the Jericho Appreciation Society. I see enough dumb refs in my other sports. Yeah. Yeah,
they have to quit relying on that crutch.
I've said it before. They really do know how to make AEW refs look completely incompetent 99% of the time. Like, how many times have we seen like a fluky finish when Bryce Remsburg's the referee and afterwards he just has that like clueless look on the face, like, oh, what happened? I don't know what do you mean? How could this have happened? It's like, because you let it happen, because you guys just continuously let him happen. And then I love the caveat, and I guess it's just kind of we're so used to WWE rules, but how many times have we seen talent just like assault the officials and the security guards and get away with it every time?
AKA Brock Lesnar.
Literally, yeah. And they AEW people do it all the time, and you never hear anything about like, oh, well, they got, I mean, obviously, like, not real, but like, oh, they got fined, quote unquote fined or punished. It was like they pick and choose when to do that, and it's like, what is going on?
I think it's very pick and choosy. I think you have to make a stand and say, we're not going to rely on that crutch of having, you know, fluky finishes because of the referee. I think it can happen every once in a while, but being that it happens kind of often in WWE, you kind of want to separate yourself from that. So I think that's just the situation, is that they just need to separate themselves and kind of not rely on that crutch of having a fluky finish with the referees.
Kind of like stop relying on Jon Moxley busting himself open every single match he's in.
Oh my God. I don't know if it's just that like his skin has been busted open so many times.
Paper. It's tissue paper.
But man, they need to figure that out.
Because it's just not even, it's a joke at this point where it's like, well, there he goes again. And I mean, the worst one was the very last one where you clearly saw him cutting himself on live TV. Like, it's just stupid. I don't get it. It's not like every match is an all holds barred match. These are all just regular matches.
Right. You know,
it's not adding anything to it. It's honestly taking away from it because it's just like, oh, here we go again. Like, here, whatever. It's, yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either, but what are we, just fans?
Yeah, we're just two people talking on a podcast. What do we know? Whatever. So those were all of Jack's questions. So Jack, thank you again, as always. And our final questions of the night are going to come from Mike, one of our good friends. Starting off hot. What was the worst booking decision? Dropping the titles off the Acclaimed or breaking up Toxic Attraction?
I would say dropping the titles off the Acclaim, because I think Toxic Attraction ran its course, especially when they lost Mandy.
Yeah. Wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same. I am interested in the fact the way they did it, because I would have assumed that Gigi Dolin would be like the heel.
Yeah. Cause she was kind of like the crazy one in the match.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She's like the unhinged one. So she's kind of, that would have worked out perfectly.
But the tears, she was, oh, that really got it for me. I'm like, oh, this hurts. This hurts.
She took a beating.
That kick to the face. My goodness. That was, how she did not get a concussion out of that is beyond me. Cause oh my God, that door did not give at all.
Yeah. That door. That's the same thing I thought when it happened. That door did not give at least 1 inch. But
maybe the door was supposed to go the other way. Maybe.
Maybe.
And it just didn't.
Ding dong, hello indeed.
Literally, though, because that was yikes.
But I'm just, I'm confused about giving the titles to the Guns. Like, I'm not shitting on them. I just didn't see them as worthy. Yeah, I feel like one thing you can capitalize on is that the Acclaim won the titles organically. So that's something you want to capitalize on, and you want to see if you can achieve with your other talent. And I to take it off of them in such an unorganic way.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, but again, I mean, they're playing the heels, so maybe we're supposed to see it that way, and we want to see them get their ass kicked and lose the titles, but it just depends on who they lose the titles to.
Yeah, it's kind of just, it's odd.
Yeah, it's just odd. I mean, it would have been great to have given the Acclaim the win, because they really haven't, when they won the titles from Swerve and Our Glory, it was great. Yeah. But then they got into this situation with the Guns, and it didn't elevate them. It didn't elevate the whole situation with them being champions.
Yeah, I agree. It just kept kind of like going. I'm like, are we still doing this? Okay, right. I guess. And then that happened, and it's like, oh. Yeah, I still don't get it. I don't think I'm ever going to get it.
This was a misstep for AEW.
Yeah, I can't help but agree on that one. So Mike thought the Saraya and Toni Storm segment was terrible. One forearm to the back, Leva Bates just lays there to get spray painted. What are our thoughts on it? Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird.
I don't need them to be bullies, if that makes any sense.
They don't need to be.
I don't think they need to be bullies. I think if they just rest on the fact that they're like, we're from the outside coming in, like kind of like the outsiders, I think that would have been okay. But just to be bullies and just spray painting people, it just doesn't do anything for me.
No, honestly, those two are, and I hate to say it because you know how much I love Saraya. The thing that's keeping me interested in this is actually, obviously, besides Britt and Jamie, because duh, I think the most intriguing thing about this is, where do Ruby's loyalties lie? Is she going to be an outsider like she is, or is she going to be like, well, you know, AEW accepted me and I feel like one of their own. So I'm interested to see which way Ruby goes. I hope she doesn't break my heart and goes with the outsiders, cause I might cry, but I'm interested to see what happens with that, because I feel like you can take it a couple different ways.
Yeah. And that's always good when you develop different pathways in terms of storytelling, in wrestling. But it's just, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I want to see more Saraya wrestle. I don't think we've gotten enough of her wrestling yet. And I mean, I do like the idea of her and Toni Storm teaming up.
Yeah.
I think they're a formidable team, and they kind of can bounce off each other, and it makes sense. It's just, I don't need them to be bullies. I just need them to be competitors and be like, hey, we're from the outside, and we're, I guess, trying to take over.
Screw you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. They kind of are just going about it wrong, but maybe it'll get better with time, I hope, because, yeah, this isn't it right now, unfortunately. All right. So I knew we were going to talk about this one. So Mike would like to know, how soon till we get Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Dakota Kai and Io Sky? And more importantly, who am I going to cheer for in that match?
I forgot that question. That's a good question. You know, I already said I wanted to see it. So I think this leaves it up to you. Who are you going to root for?
I mean, obviously, I do want to. I think they supposedly, obviously, again, we see it on the internet that the rumor is WrestleMania. So that'll be, I mean, at surface level, I'm just going to be happy both Shane and Dakota get like WrestleMania moments. So I'm going to be just like overly happy about that. But then the fact that they're going against each other, talk about crying. I don't know. Like, I feel like it is one of those, if it even makes sense, that it's a win-win, lose-lose at the same time, where it's like, okay, if Dakota wins, great. If Shayna wins, great. If one of them loses, God damn it, but at least the other one wins, I guess. Like, this is going to be a tough one for me.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you can either bake the cake, or, you know, you can't bake the cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You can't have everything go your way in this situation.
I feel like this one might just come down to, I'm just going to enjoy the fact that both of them are getting their WrestleMania moment. If it does happen at WrestleMania, obviously, but I feel like if it does happen there, I'll just kind of, I feel like I won't cheer like one way or the other. I'm just going to enjoy the fact that they're both going to potentially be in a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
And even together. So I'm just like, so in a way it's going to be great. I feel like it won't tear me apart like it did when it was like Ruby and Britt and Ruby and Stat and all of them. So, or Shane and Becky from WrestleMania a few years ago. That was pain for me. So you know what? I think this time I'm just going to be like, you know what? Somebody I like is going to win. Somebody I like is going to win. So I'll be happy either way. Will I be a little sad? Yes. But you know what? I'm just going to be happy that they get their moments because of those two have more than earned it in my eyes anyway.
There you go. That's a good wrestling fan right there.
Right? Like that literally just sounded like the equivalent of that that like sports meme where it's like, I just hope both teams have fun.
Yeah.
It was literally me. I just hope Shane and Dakota have fun. That's all I want. All right. So this is, I think, Mike's last question. And my goodness, is it a doozy? I thought someone was going to ask a question about this. What are our thoughts on Tony Khan talking about the alleged tampering by WWE with the contracts? Mike thinks it's a little hypocritical since it seems like that's how they got the Hardys. And should Tony just stay focused on his own issues of stagnant growth, having constant trouble trying to get to 1 million viewers?
I'm going to go on a limb and say that Mike is not a fan of AEW at the moment.
I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like it's tough because it's like, if that is true, because obviously none of us know what really happened, but I feel like if that was the case and he kind of tampered to get the Hardys, I feel like it's kind of a you have no room to talk kind of situation because,
right.
Okay, well, if you can do it to them, they can certainly do it to you. You're not immune to anything. So, yeah, I mean, and clearly, like, kind of like we said, with the way AEW kind of is right now, I don't blame some people for wanting to leave.
There's just a lot of uncertainty. Where there was a possibility that you had a chance to be something and go your own way in AEW has just turned into mass chaos.
Yeah. Brought the curse of Brawl out.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that really brought like a really dark cloud over AEW that they really haven't been able to get rid of. They just need to rid themselves of the CM Punk situation as best they can because he's still listed as on the roster, you know? Yeah. So I think there are certain people out there that are looking to have hope to see if maybe he comes back. I don't think he'd be the right choice to bring him back. But again, yeah, Tony Khan needs to figure out how to get that juice back in terms of trying to get over 1 million viewers on his programming.
Yeah, it's, he kind of put himself in this position, if you think about it. He kind of just brought this on himself.
You can't sign everybody that needs a job.
It's literally what I think he kind of, like, trashed WWE for doing before he even did it. So it's like, okay,
yeah,
you don't know any better. I hate to break it to Tony. He doesn't know any better than right. WWE. So it's kind of like,
and that's where you get in trouble is when you start thinking you know better than the top dog of the industry, you know? Yeah. It's like Jake Roberts always said, WWE is going to be number one, and whoever is underneath them is really like number four or five because that's how good WWE really is at what they do. So when you try to go against the top dog of the industry, you're going to get met with a lot of resistance.
You know?
So and now it just kind of looks like Tony Khan is crying about it because, like you said, I didn't know much about the whole Hardy's contract situation.
That
he was tampering with that. But if that's the case, then you reap what you sow.
Yeah, it's open season on you then. Like, what do you expect to happen? WWE just be like, okay, well, you did it to us, so yeah, we're just gonna let that one slide. It's like, no, they're gonna look at you and say, screw you, and
yeah,
turnabout's fair play.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a dog eat dog world.
It's chaos. All of it is chaos. It really is. It's just a mess. I think that's the best way to put it. It's just a goddamn mess. But I do believe that actually is all the questions. We did it. We made it
through. Wow. We made it through. Oh, that was so difficult, let me tell you.
Yeah, right. You know, that was just, ugh. I don't think we can do that again.
Yeah.
It was too much. Now it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was. It's always fun talking about the situation, and I think we're heavy on the storyline this week, you know, talking about how important stories in wrestling is. And since we're speaking of stories, there's no other better storytelling than what Jerry Jarrett did in Memphis in wrestling. So our condolences go out to the Jarrett family, friends, and co-workers of Jerry Jarrett, who sadly passed away from cancer of the esophagus today. So it's a big loss in the wrestling community. And speaking of storytelling, there was no one better at telling stories than what they did in Memphis back in the day in the territory days. So again, our condolences go out to the family of Jerry Jarrett. And also you can't remiss, you know, him starting up NWA TNA with Jeff. A lot of people make jokes about TNA and the old Impact days, but if it wasn't for those, we wouldn't have got AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, you know, Xavier Woods, Bobby Roode. Karrion Kross, Bobby Lashley, you know, Drew McIntyre, all cut their teeth and got better because of TNA. So they do deserve some sort of accolade and recognition. So good on them. And again, our condolences go out to the family of Jerry Jarrett. Like you said, we got through all the questions, and that's basically what we do here. We answer your questions. So if you're a new listener and you're like, I want to ask a question, how do I go about it? Well, the best way to do it is to reach out to us on social media. We're available on Twitter and Instagram at the handle Ringside Rundown. Again, that's at Ringside Rundown. And the day before we record, I always ask either Shay or I always ask, you know, what your questions, comments, opinions, rants, anything you want to talk about wrestling wise. If you want to voice it and have it a voice on the podcast, just send us a reply and let us know, and we'll voice it on the podcast. Again, you can reach us at Ringside Rundown on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to talk to me about wrestling on a one-on-one basis, you can follow me on Twitter at Wrestling Cron. That's Wrestling Chron. Shay, where can I get in touch with you?
Can find me on Twitter at ShayleneHickson21. And honestly, I think it's safe to say, I know we have like our usual 3 to 4, sometimes 5 like listeners that bring in questions. Don't be afraid. If you like listen to the show and you're like, well, I don't know, because they always have, they're like usual people, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
Honestly, we are never going to turn away any new person's questions. If you're going to ask us questions, we're going to answer it.
Yeah, this is one big happy family, and we're always looking to add more to the family. So don't be afraid to get in chaos and have a feeling like you have a voice in this wrestling world. Because like we said, there's tons of great podcasts out there that all do great things. But if you want to have a voice and have your opinions be voiced out there to the public, what better place to do it than the Ringside Rundown?
Right. I think we do a pretty good job.
Yeah, we do. I think we do a great job. And we've been going 71 episodes. I know we talk about it every week, but to us, that's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You know, that we've been able to keep this going so long. And I don't think we're stopping anytime soon.
Oh, no. It was kind of crazy because when we were – Mom and I were driving out to Ohio for the toy convention, she told me to, like, go onto our Spotify and just, like, randomly go through, like, one of the episodes and, like, pick one, because I guess that's what she does at work and whatever. And – I was kind of like scrolling, and I found the episode when I went to the AEW show when Britt was champion. So that was like 2 years ago. That was episode 10.
Wow.
I didn't think it was 10. I thought it was like in the 20s, 30s. No, it was episode 10. And so I'm like, wow, we've been doing this for quite a while, haven't we? And it's it's so weird because I feel like it's a fun thing of like, the voices don't change. I wouldn't say script, but just like our usual formula hasn't really changed a whole lot. We've been like tweaked it here and there, but I feel like outside of it, everything's just pretty much changed. Because I mean, we are different than we were 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's insane.
I feel like we've gotten better.
Oh yeah, I think so too. We got into the groove now where it's like the awkwardness is out of the way. I don't think there really was ever any awkwardness to begin with, I feel like it's that, smoother.
Yeah, that was the best. I think we picked up on chemistry and right off the bat, which is one of the strong suits, I think, of the podcast, is that we picked up on our chemistry and we were able to evolve the podcast. And, you know, we figured out the best way to do it and to stick out is not do what everybody else is doing, which is doing the recaps and stuff like that. Like we said, we want to leave the floor open to you guys and you tell us what you want to listen to and what you want to hear. And, you know, we'll do our best to voice it on the podcast, you know. So, again, reach out to us if you have a question or if you pick up on something wrestling wise and you have an opinion about it and you want to, you know, just put it out there. This is the best place to do it. So again, we thank you all to who have been listening. The numbers have been going up and up and up. So thank you all to everybody that's been listening. If you're a first time listener, you can check out this podcast basically wherever you listen to podcasts. It's available through Anchor FM and they distribute the podcast to places like Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and Apple Podcasts. So if you don't have a link to get to the podcast, don't worry. Let us know in the DMs and we'll give you a link on a silver platter, an actual silver platter. Like I'm telling you, you're going to get a silver platter.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to have the link on it right there for you. So that way you can listen to the podcast. But,
you know, at some point that's going to actually happen. There's actually going to be a silver platter with our logo like etched into it. It has to happen at this point.
Don't give me ideas.
It's like the biggest urban legend now of this podcast is the silver platter. Like mom wanted to steal the silver platter. So
yeah, and because of that, we have to decipher who's a real new listener and who just wants the silver platter.
Yeah, honestly, like I told her that must have been the revenge. Last week when she sent us the picture of Dijak's finger, that was the revenge for not giving her the silver platter. Was that?
That's what it was. Yeah, that cursed sounds image. Good. Ugh. Oh my god! Just why'd you have to bring it up? Now I'm thinking about
because that's what mom said this weekend. She's like, "Well, you should have given me the silver platter." I'm like, "I didn't ask for that, and neither did Eric." But
Gosh. Here we are. But again, yeah, listen to the podcast. If you have any ideas or things that we can use, you know, definitely. Like, we're very open in terms of having people that take the time to listen to this podcast, have them dictate what they want to listen to, you know? Yeah. So, you know, we're always going to do our thing where we're answering questions and having fun that way. But if you have any thoughts and opinions or comments or rants, we leave that open for you guys too. So again, check out the podcast. It's available through Anchor FM. You can get it wherever you listen to podcasts, specifically on places like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can get it on there as well. Again, you can check us out on Twitter at Ringside Rundown. Like I said before, every episode the day before, one of us will drop a tweet asking you guys to send in those questions, comments, opinions, and everything like that under the tweet. So that way we can answer it on the podcast and have fun.
Yeah, that's why we do this. If it wasn't for the listeners, we would be, I don't know, talking to ourselves pretty much. That's about it.
Yeah. So, all right. So it's time to talk about the schedule. I don't know. I know Elimination Chamber is Saturday. So obviously we're not going to be recording on that day. We're either going to drop an episode, probably going to be recording on Sunday, which will mean that the episode will drop on Monday. If not, we'll do another Tuesday episode like we're doing right now, and it'll drop on Wednesday. So stay tuned, pay attention to your timelines, have fun at Elimination Chamber. I guess let's go Sami Zayn.
I guess, and like, let's go Asuka.
Let's go Asuka. Let's go Sami Zayn. Who do we have for the men's Elimination Chamber has gotten no love.
Yeah, and that pretty much confirmed it because I don't remember who's in it. Rollins is in it.
Rollins is in it, Austin Theory, Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed. Who are the last two?
I didn't even realize Bronson Reed was in there. Oh my God.
Damian Priest is in there.
Ooh, that would be a fun one. For mom's sake, I'm sure she probably would pick Damian. what do they get for the... If they win,
this is for the U.S. title.
Oh, okay. That changes things. Oh, boy. I feel like Seth would be the two obvious choice. And I feel like Johnny kind of hasn't really gotten the momentum. I'm going to say Damian Priest.
Mm. Wow, that'd be big if we could have Damian Priest as U.S. champion, Rhea Ripley going into WrestleMania as going up against the women's champion. Good stuff. See, this is all stuff we're going to talk about next week on the show, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. Again, thank you guys for listening. For Shea Hickson, my name is Eric Vasquez. We will see you next week, guys.
See you later, guys.